It's just politics.
Just politics.
I'm Zoe Clark.
I'm Rick Pluta.
In Lansing yesterday, with the State House approving that $195 million for Detroit.
A lot of us were anticipating a close vote.
A very close vote.
There was a lot of back and forth about how many votes the Republicans would have to put up and how many the Democrats would have to put up.
When, in fact, it wasn't even close.
Other than the dust-up over the Detroit Institute of Arts millage, the package passed by big lopsided margins and overwhelming Republican support.
An interesting dynamic. Overwhelming Republican support for the state coming to the aid of a city run by Democrats.
In fact, if you were closely watching this, in many respects, this was a tougher sell for a lot of Democratic lawmakers than Republicans.
Right. Once Republicans saw that this was a better financial deal, $195 million upfront to avoid paying much more potentially in the future, in pension liabilities, litigation costs, future welfare costs for pensioners who could lose their benefits.
Right. And even the Republicans who voted against portions of the deal, they did not stand up to speak out against it. But some Democrats did.
Imposing this legislation on the city of Detroit is not right.
That's Representative David Nathan, Democrat from Detroit.
And I think it's safe to say there was some election campaign politics in play here. Nathan, one of three House Democrats running for the same open state Senate seat. One of them, Representative Thomas Stallworth, was a key player in putting together this deal.
Yeah, working with John Walsh, the Republican chair of the committee that crafted these bills, working the compromises that allowed for these large majorities of votes that we saw.
Yeah, like the DIA bills that gave cover to some Macomb County Republicans to support it. The oversight and financial controls in the bills that gave other Republicans clearance.
But some of those same controls also gave some Democrats fits. Also, and this is a big deal. While Detroit may be too big to fail, we do have 16 other states and school districts that are in some stage of state financial oversight, including six emergency managers.
And we have many more communities that are on the bubble, most in House districts represented by Democrats, whose local officials are asking them, where's our bailout? That put those Democrats in a bind.
Which is really contrary to the narrative that was so hyped over the past few weeks, that it was Republicans, particularly those facing re-election, primary challenges, that politically speaking, they wouldn't be able to vote for a Detroit bailout.
And, you know, just this week, the Koch brothers,
those Tea Party darlings who have spent millions and millions and millions of dollars on political campaigns across the country,
came out and said they'd put money into races to try and unseat Republicans who voted for these bills. And if there was a political loser yesterday, it was the Koch-backed Americans for Prosperity, not able to stoke fear in the hearts of House Republicans facing re-election.
They are enabling bad behavior, and this has to stop. We can't keep writing these huge checks to Detroit.
That's Scott Hagerstrom of Americans for Prosperity. And you know, that was really just a messaging failure in the Capitol. In part, I think, because the AFP's alternative was so far off on the other end that for a lot of lawmakers, it was just really unthinkable.
Right. That alternative to sell off everything that the city owns or partially owns and just divide it among creditors.
We'll see how that message sells in the state Senate, where right now it looks like fewer than 10 Republicans may be for it. I'm not sure how many Democrats yet. A couple of those Republicans do have Tea Party primary challengers. Also, two Detroit senators facing Democratic primary challenges from House members.
Yeah, and certainly what cleared the House yesterday is not going to be the final version of the Detroit package. There are going to have to be compromises to get it through the state Senate.
And then compromises to pull together a package that's acceptable to both the House and the Senate, and sometimes inter-chamber rivalries in the legislature can be every bit as fierce as inter-party rivalries.
There ain't no good guy, there ain't no bad guy, there's only you and me and we just disagree.
Rick Pluta is the Lansing Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network.
Zoe Clark is the resident political junkie at Michigan Radio.